Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apparently, really nothing, as in catching a single fish. Never in the Gospels do the professional fishermen catch even one fish without Jesus' help, without Jesus there. Each catch is given by his word and direction, as if something bigger than fish is afoot. So that boats that are out all night and empty come back, as St. Luke has it, filled with so much Jesus and sinful men like Simon Peter and so much fish that even a second boat is ready to sink from the load. Or this Easter narrative, with these seven still not quite so sure Easter disciples trying their hand at fishing again and catching nothing until the voice from the physical man on the shore gives the foolish command to cast out the net on the right side of the boat. Oh, sure, why didn't we think of that? The same result as in Luke, that they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Dragging a full net the whole way, but the net will never tear. Large fish, you wouldn't believe, 153 of them. But don't get cocky. Your skill and luck really count for nothing here. Jesus' word and command counts for everything. He makes fishermen who catch fish and fishers of men who are preachers. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and two other. There are those two anonymous guys there, too, forever unnamed, but nonetheless working the net and in the story. And all of them still surprised by Jesus and Easter. They go from not recognizing him on the shore to knowing, really knowing it's him again. The beloved disciple in the boat gets it first, so to speak, and tells Simon Peter, "It is the Lord." And John's little sermon there is enough for Peter, and he throws himself into the water to get there sooner. Peter will be able to see Jesus when he gets closer, but for now, diving in, he just believes John's pointing. Yes, Jesus reveals himself again. He is risen. The great Easter object lesson himself, not a ghost, but the dead man alive. We knew it, and we saw it all before. But even now, this third time, like we need it again, Jesus reveals himself to the disciples. It's Jesus by the Sea of Tiberias again. St. John tells only one other story about Jesus in this same place, that time with the hungry crowd of 5,000. Remember that, because today it's the same menu. Fish, lots of fish, and bread. And Jesus took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. But now, eating with Jesus, who was 3 days dead in the tomb, now risen. Perhaps they get it now, or not. There is always more to teach. Well then, to repeat, the disciples caught nothing all night, but when they hear Jesus and put their nets on the other side of the boat, they were not able to draw it in, there's so much. Peter heads for Jesus. The others continue to draw and drag it in. When Jesus tells them to bring some of the fish they caught, it's Peter who goes aboard and draws the haul in, the last bit of the beach. All this drawing and dragging and hauling by the disciples, yes, but it is not quite as it looks. Last time, after Jesus fed the 5,000, he said that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, that getting yourself to Jesus is a human impossibility. And for the Passion, Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So not by my own reason or strength, believing or coming or dragging myself to him, but the crucified and risen Jesus is the drawer and the hauler of his church. The promise that people like fish can be drawn to him, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the death on the cross, by the net of the Father, by the ministry of the gospel. Jesus does the drawing and hauling. Fish do the wiggling and jerking. Luther says the fisherman, the preacher, really catches nothing. He knows it is the Lord who throws the net into the sea. Great things, but they look so weak and miserable with the fishermen. But it is God who preaches, and God who sets a table through means, through his apostolic ministry, even those two anonymous guys. And there he caught you in the water and hauled you to himself. The usefulness lies not in the preacher, God's mask and mumbler, Luther calls him, but in the words, the power of God who pulls and directs the nets. All of my officially registered and validated critical events aside, I'm not the one who catches fish or hauls them in or produces faith in anyone. You'll preach Christ crucified and distribute this Christ risen on the shore. The missionary is Jesus. He draws. John, the apostolic witness, is so careful here. Not 152 or 154 large fish, but 153. And whatever else that might mean, it means that John is precise as a witness. Like his description of the burial cloths lying in the empty tomb, Jesus' face cloth not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. And like his emphatic witness of blood and water flowing from Christ's pierced side, his testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth. All right, then. Now you tell the truth about Christ. And come and have breakfast. It is a rather ordinary meal, isn't it? Jesus has prepared it even before the very unordinary catch of fish. The meal and the big catch are his gift to the seven. He is the host here. It is the Lord, John testified before like a proper witness. And so Jesus still does this morning with his word and this bread. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And none dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And he took the bread and gave it to them. Not so ordinary after all. Here, still, it is the Lord revealing himself now to you after he was raised from the dead. Amen.